I wonder how many days of the year you take out for special causes. By that I mean, there are all these charities and causes, aren't there, where they say, today is National Asperger's Day, or today is National Cancer Awareness Day. You may not be aware that actually September the 19th is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. There you go. More profoundly, 4th of February is World Cancer Awareness Day. What's the point of these days? Well, yes, there are silliness. I don't think the world is truly going to be changed by a World Pirate Speaking Day, but maybe it breaks down some of those barriers, helps us with our Britishness. But the point of them is to raise awareness, isn't it? To educate, to get us thinking about things that are important. And actually, the Anglican Church does the same thing. We have particular days where we say we're going to make sure every year we keep this special day in the church calendar so that we remember important things. To help you out, there's a 25th of December. Christmas, we do that one. We do Easter. We do Trinity Sunday, we do Bible Sunday. We remember the baptism of Jesus. They're all for that purpose of reminding us what is important, keeping it in the forefront. What's important, both for sort of those worldly events, those church places, they're not supposed to be one hit wonders, are they? Cancer UK don't sit down on the 5th of February and say, woo, well done team, we've done the day, everyone book your holiday for the rest of the year, we'll meet up in January to plan the next day. The whole heart of those days is they want you to live in them continually, don't they? It's a day to raise your awareness, but the idea, the principle, is that from then on, you're reminded and you live in that reality. Our Bible reading is a reading that, again, is associated with a special day for the church. You'll always hear it read on Pentecost Sunday. But again, it's that same principle. We need to live in Pentecost today. We need to live in that passage, not kind of shut the Bible the day after Pentecost and go, right, well, that's that done. Tip that box for the year, pack up, go home. It's a really significant day. It's the birthday of the church, and it's a reminder that the Holy Spirit has come. But the question we face is, are we living? For any church to be healthy, for any Christian to follow Jesus and to serve him effectively, every day needs to be a Pentecost thing. We have to live it. How do we live it? Well, when Jesus left his disciples to go back to the Father, he told them one thing. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait. Effectively, he was saying, don't do anything. Don't touch anything. You know, sometimes when your children go to your, like, elderly relatives, they've got these beautiful porcelain things everywhere. And as a parent, before you go in the house, do not touch anything. Don't do it. Just don't move. Just stand there. Grab your hand. Don't do anything. Wait on the Holy Spirit. Let's just digest that for a minute. Had the disciples spent 3 years living alongside Jesus? Had they been absorbing his teachings, even given them one-to-one sessions where he drew away from the crowd and said, guys, this is just for you? Yes. Tick. Had they finally realised who he was? Well, yes, the gospel tells us they had some false starts. But yes, they knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Tick. Yes. Did they believe that he had risen from the dead? Yes, tick, he'd appeared to them physically. They touched his wounds. They had beachside breakfast with him. They spent time with him. They physically met him. They encountered him. And had they received his forgiveness? Again, yes, tick. Peter went through that amazing restorative conversation with Jesus, where Peter denied Jesus three times. And three times Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Forgiveness. Restoration. So let's just recap. So disciples knew Jesus' teaching. They believed he was the Son of God. They experienced and received his forgiveness. That sounds like a pretty good tick list for me, a good checklist for what Christians. And yet, Jesus says, "No. Wait, there's something more. There's a helper in you. Yes, you know me. Yes, you receive forgiveness. Yes, you believe in me. But there's a helper you need as well. Wait for me to send the Holy Spirit. Don't try anything. Don't make any plans. Wait for the Holy Spirit." So we're continuing our sermon series. Healthy church, we grow because. Healthy churches grow because they welcome the help and the support and the encouragement and the wise counsel of the Holy Spirit. We grow because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered to witness, empowered to share our faith with Jesus. It's not rocket science, is it? For any church to grow, it needs to help others come to believe in Jesus as they do. That's what we're about. That's how this church will grow. We need to encourage and enable others to put their faith in Jesus. So I wonder what you made of our reading as we were reading it today. I hope you thought, "Wow, this sounds incredible." In one day, the church goes from a ragtag bag of disciples and followers, about 120, to over 3,000. And suddenly, in one day, there are 14 different languages spoken in the service. I don't know how they did it. It wasn't very good. But can you imagine? A congregation, suddenly with 14 different languages, suddenly gone from 124 you fit into one's house, to 3,000, just like that. It's spectacular. But I wonder, was there a little voice in your head that said something along the lines of, "This doesn't happen today"? Or maybe it said something along the lines of, "This doesn't happen in this country. It happens in Africa and South America, not here." Or maybe it says, "This doesn't happen in Anglican churches. It might happen in Hillsongs or Bill Hybels, you know, places where they can write books and stuff. It doesn't happen here." Let me repeat something I said a few moments ago. Healthy churches grow because they welcome the health, the support, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Let me share with you a couple of stories that I hope will encourage you and illustrate why this Pentecostal story is for today. Ellie and I, when we first got married, 22, we were youth workers, we did a job share. We're in a small Anglican church, much smaller than this church in terms of people and in terms of building. It was where I'd grown up before I went to university. It was my home church, but it was nothing special. Special to me, sort of. Actually, it wasn't that special to me. The reason I went back was to try and change it. But it was small, it was insignificant, had no reputation, no profile. It wasn't known as the Lighted Church. It was just your bog standard, ordinary, suburb established, small church. No one knew anything about it. No one really knew it was there apart from the music community. We were sat in an ordinary service. It was communion, Bible book, common worship, middle of the road. Ellie and I sat next to each other. There were no to me, and feels the Holy Spirit in her heart, nudging her to speak out. She can suppress it. This isn't God hitting over like us and embodying it. It's kind of, anyone wants to speak for you, will you speak? And so A speaks out. And what comes out in the middle of this service, not planned, not in the schedule, just comes out in the middle of this service, is an unintelligible language. She just speaks out, and the top of her voice is unintelligible language, this tongue. And I'm sat next to her thinking, this is the shortest resignation letter I have ever written. I was just sat there thinking, what do we do? Where do we go from here? There's a stunned silence. In our Pentecost story, we heard about the crowd saying, are they drunk? Are they? I don't know. Well, maybe some people were thinking, my youth work has been hitting the bottle. But they certainly were kind of like, what's going on? And then the vicar read something from 1 Corinthians 12 about spiritual giftings, where it speaks about if there is a time in worship, there will be someone with the gift of interpretation to speak, to edify, to say this is what God's saying. Well, I sat there thinking, not strike with her, but this is a little insignificant, box standard church. There's no one here who feeds the conferences. There's no one who's been on a 12-week training course in the prophetic. And then a lady in her mid-40s, very nervous, comes to the front. And she says, I've never done anything like this before, but I think God was saying this. And she spoke what she felt God was speaking through her. Then a really exciting thing happens. Because when Ellie spoke out, to use a technical term, it kind of sounded Spanish. It sounded kind of along the lines of, could be Spanish, that kind of thing. I'm no linguist, but I'm just about to correct to see in French at GCSE level, fair. But one of our fringing people who would say that she wasn't a Christian just happened to be in church that morning, and she was doing A-level Spanish. And she ran to the front, and she said, this is freaking me out, those were her words. But I understood every word that Ellie spoke. And the lady who gave the interpretation got every word right. I don't have to tell you that a young person who wasn't a follower of Jesus suddenly was rather interested and rather excited. And our little old church was kind of like, wow! What happened then? The Holy Spirit does the miraculous today. But that's still fireworks, isn't it? That's happened once in my life. I'm really grateful. It took about 10 years off my life as God was sort of working it through. It's a wonderful, faith-building experience to have. But what about the everyday? How does that Pentecost story come into the everyday? Well, now I'm going to ask one of our congregations to come and share with us a little bit about how that happened. Kathy, would you mind coming and sharing?
I'm going to fire a few questions.
You can share quickly if you hold on to listening. So, how have you been feeling about work lately?
Work for me at the moment has been really rather difficult. I've been diagnosed with fibromyalgia and chronic pain syndrome, and the consultant has told me that I must slow down and I mustn't do as many hours. I work about 50, 60 hours a month at the moment, and I mustn't do an energetic job. I'm a cleaner and I work as a delivery driver in the evenings. So work has been difficult. It hurts.
And you've kind of been looking for maybe an option to
get I've been looking for other options, yes. Two years ago, I was a preschool manager here. I worked as a teaching assistant, and I've done loads of jobs. But those were the two jobs that I was looking to go back into, education, and I'm blowing on the trumpet here. But I did the job. I enjoy the job. And I enjoy working with children. So I decided that that's quite possibly where I got to be. I had a really bad experience in school and in classical education. And decided that maybe it wasn't for me. And then, as in the past, I prayed over applications and said, "God, whatever your will is in my life, give me the right job to be in." And I did.
So in jobs that you're struggling, what happened last week?
Last week, knowing fully well that I'm not in the right job for me as a consultant, so I've been praying very much so about the Lord's Prayer in my life, but making it more personal to me. And every day on the way to work, because I have to drive around to get to my colleague, I have a wonderful praise and worship time, and I pray the Lord's Prayer. And I pray whatever your will be done in my life, in my work, in all the places in heaven. And last week, you might have seen Dada, one of the Muslim guys that we have been using, came, and well, one of his mates came downstairs and said, "Kathy, can we go to church with you next week?" "Yeah, of course I can." "Why?" "He wants to know why you don't work Sundays and wants to know what it's all about. And he's never been to a church before, so he thought he'd like to come with you." So Dad came.
And where about your other colleague?
And my other colleague, Lorraine, she's got a really overactive thyroid and it's quite boring. But she had a really, really bad cough. And she'd been saying that she hadn't been sleeping and she couldn't work properly because she was so tired. And she said, "What can we do? What can we do? I said, I'll pay you." I said, "All right, if you think it could work." So I prayed her. And the next day, she came to her and she said, "Kathy, I've never had such a good night's sleep in all my life. Thank you for praying for me. Will you continue to pray?" And then she said, "To win the lottery." "I don't think it will work like that, but I will continue to pray for you. The cough's now much, much better. What more do you think for this, Tony?"
"Oh, she's freestyling
now.
I've lost control. Carry on."
One of my clients, the people that I deliver to regularly, she's just going to go 20 pounds in rooms. Outreach, the things that we do in the church, is something for everybody. So just to encourage you, there is something for everybody that we do in the church. If you want to mention it, just let the Holy Spirit work through you and plant that seed, then you'll start to happen.
Awesome, thank you. In the everyday,
I don't know how many years Kathy had been plugging away, and then suddenly in a week, just the faithfulness, the bravery to say, "Come away."
Just the opportunity to actually bring her colleague into her. "Can I go to church with you?" Wonderful. In the everyday, at work, with our friends, our neighbours, the Holy Spirit can help us to share our faith. And that's what it's really about. The Holy Spirit lives to point others to Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives to encourage us and empower us to point others to Him. In our meeting, we heard Jesus explain what was going on. "In the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." And our reading finished with this: "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The early church, from the very beginning, knew that it needed the help of God's Holy Spirit. And the church knew the priority and the importance of sharing the good news that we have. That there is forgiveness in Jesus. That there is new life and fresh empowerment to change in Jesus. It's a healthy church. We grow because you welcome the encouragement, the empowering, and the wise counsel of the Holy Spirit. Help the church we grow, because with the Holy Spirit's help, in the ordinary, every day, in the mundane, in the difficult, God can use us to share our faith with others. Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Well, the good news is we no longer need to wait. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Now, the challenge is, will we welcome him? Will we ask for the Holy Spirit's help? Or will we try and do it on our own? So what I'd like us to do now is, in a really gentle way, to do just that. To ask for God's Holy Spirit to help us. And the way we're going to do that is we're just going to pray for one another. We're not going to sort of create a sort of hyped up atmosphere or bring in the guy with the white suit on to take over. We're just going to pray for one another. And for you to do that, I want you to take a moment to think about what's the challenges in your life. Where do you need help? What are your fears and your worries? What are your stresses at work? What are your cares and concerns? And then simply encourage you to ask God's Holy Spirit to help you. And the second thing I'd like to think about, who are your loved ones? Who are your friends and your neighbours, but especially your family, your close ones, who don't know Jesus? And again, I encourage you to just ask God's Holy Spirit to help you, that in some way you might encourage them and lead them to Jesus. So that's as simple as it. So anything can come and play a song which is along those lines, sort of creates a space within which you can pray. My encouragement would maybe to turn to the person next to you, or a couple of people, and say, can we pray together? But it's entirely up to you. It's just space for you to simply turn to Jesus. Please send your Holy Spirit to help.